Today I want to take you on a little journey through Matthew 24 primarily. It talks about the conditions in the last days. So would you open your Bible with me to Matthew 24? This took place when Jesus was walking with his disciples. It says that Jesus left the temple and was walking away when his disciples came up to him and called his attention to its buildings. "Do you see all these things?" Jesus said. He asked them, "I tell you the truth, not one stone here will be left on another. Everyone will be thrown down." And I suppose that disciples wondered what he was even saying at that time. And I suppose that Jesus walked off by himself and they'd started discussing what he meant by that. And they must have talked to each other. So later, as Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. "Tell us," they said, "when will this happen? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" Jesus answered, "Watch out that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, claiming, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come." He said that nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains or things to come. Then reading on down from 11 to 13, and he warns that many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. So in that passage, Jesus is warning us of what will come toward the end of time. And I want to go back just briefly just now and go through that again and see if we can't relate what's happening now to what Jesus told us way back then. And the first thing that Christ mentioned was to beware that no one deceives us and that false Christ would appear. In my lifetime, I haven't run across that too much lately. I don't think maybe you have either. But I suppose in a little while, this will become more prevalent. There have been some occasions when people have claimed to be Christ, but not too often. So I surmise that this will probably take place later in time when the trouble really begins. Then he goes on to say that you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. Well, wars and rumors of wars have been going on since I've been around. And according to the Bible, long before that. And they're going on today, aren't they? In fact, kingdom isn't rising against kingdom just now, or nation against nation just now, but when we consider the unrest in the Middle East right now, it's in turmoil. We're way over here, and they're way over there, and we don't really have a good glimpse of what's happening in those countries. It started in Egypt, didn't it? Remember when the people revolted, and they relieved their dictator? Then quickly after that, spread to Syria, then to Libya. And just now, in Libya, they're massacring their own people. And it's sad that a dictator of a country would end up killing his own people to stay in power. Isn't that sad? And she warns us to be aware of those things that are happening right now in this world. And then I really like this next little part of this verse. It says, "Such things must happen, but the end is still to come." So we need to be on our guard. He's telling us to be aware of what's happening, not just in our local community or in our state or in the nation, but worldwide. Because since technology has increased, we're aware of what's happening everywhere in the world at this time. It didn't used to be like that. So the world has shrunk to the point where we're in touch with every people and nation in the world right now. Then as we read on down, it talks about famines. You know, God has richly blessed this country, so we don't necessarily have what they call famines very often in this country. But if you turn your eyes upon other countries in the world, famines in those countries have been prevalent and go on day after day, year after year. Just look in Africa. How many young people starve to death in that country every year? We haven't got a clue. So famines are prevalent in other countries in the world. Then he talks about earthquakes in various places. And I want to talk about earthquakes in various places right now with you guys. I mean, just consider what has happened in the last 5 years in the world involving terrible earthquakes. The first one I think of, I guess, and I really want to go back to, is the earthquake that happened off the Philippine Islands and generated that tremendous tsunami in the South Sea of China. It killed, I think, almost 200,000 people, as far as they know. Now, that is just astronomical and hard to believe. And because we didn't experience that, we really don't get a grip on how devastating that was. Then I also think of the hurricanes in Haiti and in Cuba. And then it turned right around a year or two later and hit Haiti again and devastated that country. There was tremendous loss of life, and those people are just suffering terribly because of that. Then along came Katrina to hit this country. I mean, within a relatively short period of time, a year, year and a half. Then there was earthquakes and floods and mudslides in China. I canceled our TV now a year ago or a year and a half ago. But I still had the receiver on the Dish Network. And about the only channel I could get was CCTV from China. And so I had an up personal view of what was going on in China during that time. And it was terrible. It showed pictures of villages, complete villages that were completely wiped out by mudslides. Just devastating. Then, of course, lately we've had the tsunami in Japan. And I think we all saw what that was like. And the aftermath of that is ongoing, and it's going to be ongoing for years and years and years. I saw kind of a documentary on that not too long ago, and it showed the mountains and mountains of rubble that were stacked up, and they were still stacking it up. And as they stacked, they had to continue searching for the people who lost their lives in that. Just traumatic. It kind of really affected me. And the thing that bothers me the most is that we're just beginning. It's going to keep getting worse and worse. So how are you and I going to survive that? There's only one way, folks, and that's complete dependence on God and Jesus. We cannot survive that unless we dedicated our lives completely to Him in every possible way. Oh, then I forgot to mention the tornadoes and stuff that are ongoing in this country right now. And the floods. Floods in Montana even right now. Just, it's becoming like almost a weekly event. When back as I was younger, I couldn't remember those happening hardly ever. You know, here and there maybe, but just in the last 5 years, the increase in activity has just gone unchecked, so to speak. So anyway, I also want to share with you this morning out of the Spirit of Prophecy, the book Last Day Events. It has some pretty pointed statements in it that I want to read to you this morning. As the time is now come, when one moment we may be on solid earth, the next the earth may be heaving beneath our feet. Earthquakes will take place when least expected. It says, in fires, in floods, in earthquakes, in the fury of the great deep. Does anybody know what the fury of the great deep might be? Yeah, tsunami. And this was written in 1897. Tsunami. I don't know if they even had a word for tsunami back then. I don't know. But calamities by sea and by land, the warning is given that God's Spirit will not always strive with men. So throughout all these calamities, God is telling us, my Spirit will not strive with man forever. Before the Son of Man appears in the clouds of heaven, everything in nature will be convulsed. Lightning from the heaven, uniting with the fire in the earth, will cause the mountains to burn like a furnace. There will be mighty earthquakes and great destruction of human life, and certainly we are really seeing that in the last 4 or 5 years. She goes on to say that Satan is working in the atmosphere even, and I'd never read this. Satan is working in the atmosphere. Did you realize that? It says he is poisoning the atmosphere, and here we are dependent upon God for our lives, our present and eternal lives. And being in the position that we are, we need to be wide awake, wide awake. Wholly devoted, wholly converted, wholly concentrated to God. But we seem to sit as though we were paralyzed. Boy, that's me. I seem to sit at home like I'm paralyzed. God of heaven, wake us up. Wake us up. We need to be in touch with what's happening and what reality is today. It says famines will increase. Pestilences will sweep away thousands. Is a tsunami a pestilence? Sweep away thousands. Why would she word it like that? And God told her. Dangers are all around us, from the powers without and satanic workings within. But the restraining power of God is now still being exercised. Yes, thank you. It says, I've been shown that the Spirit of the Lord is being... This was written. That was written in 1897. Then 10 years later, she wrote this. Now, I don't know what changed, but she stated it this way. I have been shown that the Spirit of the Lord is being withdrawn from the earth. God's keeping power will soon be refused to all those who continue to disregard his commandments. The reports of fraudulent transactions. Oh, and I read that. Listen to this. I just heard this the other day. It shows you what this country is coming to. That Muammar Gaddafi had invested with Goldman and Sachs, the premier lender in this country, the one that seemed to go through all this financial chaos, the best. Muammar Gaddafi had given them $1.3 billion to invest for him. They invested all right. They had to go to him not long ago and tell him that they had lost $1.1 billion of his money. Huh. In other words, they stole that money from him. The premier investment company in this country, the one that went through all this financial chaos just lately. That's odd. That shows you where we are in this country as far as being righteous goes. It says the reports of fraudulent transactions, murders, which are certainly a common occurrence, and crimes of every kind are coming to us daily, and that is true. They're coming so often that we're kind of desensitized to it. We're kind of desensitized to the violence. And that's sad. Anyway, we can see that we have multiple incidences of physical calamities going on all around us in this present day. But you know, that's not the only thing that that Jesus warned us about in the last days. There are also certain characteristics that human beings are going to be showing during the last days. And I want to cover some of those with you just now in the Bible. I want to go to my favorite, and this has been one of my favorites for a long time. It's in 2 Timothy. If you want to turn to that with me, because this bears reading pretty often, I would say. 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 to 4. Now listen to this. I know you've read this before, but you need to be conscious of it, I think, more on a daily basis, maybe. It says, but mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. That is really a disgusting picture in my mind. And I want to compare that with Corinthians 13. So turn over to Corinthians with me. Let's read that. And this is hanging on our kitchen wall. And it's hanging there big, and I love to read this. And this is what I want to be like. I think Jesus wants us to be like this. It describes what love is. This is God's character we're going to read about right now. It says, love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. Now, how does that compare with what I just read a minute ago? Is that not just the opposite of what I read? And yet Jesus is telling us men are going to be like that. That'll be the condition of the people around the world in the last days. So I have a hard time struggling with the fact that I'm not out there telling those people what's going on, because most of those people are ignorant. They haven't taken the time to study the Word of God. Turn back with me now to Matthew 24, 37 to 39. Says there, as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be at the coming of Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them away. It seems like those same kind of conditions might be happening around the world today, doesn't it? I want to read also in the spirit of prophecy a little bit about what the conditions actually were like in the days of Noah, because the Bible isn't really too specific. It's pretty general. But it's more detailed in here. So let me read something here from this. It said, God has a purpose in permitting these calamities to occur around the world. They are one of his means for calling men and women to their senses by unusual workings through nature. God will express through doubting human agencies that which he clearly reveals in his word. So God has a purpose for calamities. But moving on now to men, she writes this. This is kind of a shocker, and I don't know how to present this exactly except to read it. But she wrote that gluttony and intemperance lie at the foundation of the great moral depravity in our world. Satan is aware of this, and he is constantly tempting men and women to indulge the taste at the expense of health and even life itself. And when we consider, in this country especially, our health, the obesity in this country, you can see what Satan's been doing here and what he's up to. This is leading to a gradual moral decline of the people in this country especially. It says, eating and drinking and dressing, and I threw this in just on my own, video games are the aim of life in the world. Just such a state of things existed before the flood. And this state of disposition is one of the marked evidences of the soon close of this earth's history. So look around us. See what kind of condition we're in this country especially. It's pretty vivid. I didn't realize that was such a factor, but after reading that statement, you can see that we're well in the last days. It says that the picture which inspiration has given of the antediluvian world, which was before the flood, represents too truly the condition to which modern society is fast hastening. She wrote that 110 years ago. And I wonder what she would think if she were here today. Look how far down we have fallen since she wrote this. It says, we know that the Lord is coming very soon. The world is fast becoming as it was in the days of Noah. It is given over to selfish indulgences. Eating and drinking are carried way to excess. And look what's happening today. It says, in the days of Noah, the overwhelming majority was opposed to the truth. Huh, guess what? Look at this country and where it's going. People are just flat opposed to the truth. They don't even care. And even though we have all these natural disasters and calamity, it doesn't seem to be waking too many people up. And that's what concerns me. How do we do that? It has to be on a personal level. It's the only way. It says, and they were enamored with a tissue of falsehoods. In other words, they had adopted falsehoods into their life that they were just hanging on to and just going with. It says, the land was filled with violence. War, crime, and murder was the order of the day. Just so will it be before Christ's second coming. So even though it's seems terrible to us right now, it's going to continue to get worse, just like it was in the days of Noah, until the flood came and there were no more. But what I really wanted to bring out today was the fact that all these things are happening at a quickened pace just in the last 5 years. So that tells us to be wary. Satan is hard at work, not only through physical evidences, but through our own physical bodies. He's trying to trap us. So we need to be aware of what's going on and what his agenda is. And I think you guys all know that. Anyway, this morning, I want to kind of close with Matthew 24, 33 and 35. I lost my place. It says here, even so, when you see all these things, you know that it is near, right at the door. I tell you the truth, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. So I just pray this morning that the Lord will bless the reading of his word today, and may we realize that you and I are truly living in the last days of this earth's history. So let's devote our lives to Christ, to let him lead and guide us in every possible way that we can uplift and glorify him until the day he comes. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a blessing it is to be here this morning with this church family. What a blessing it is to know that you love us to the point where you will actually let things happen in our lives to get our attention. Thank you for our little trials that we have. Well, I guess they're not all so little. We have big trials sometimes, but you're trying to get our attention. You're trying to lead us to your feet and to build our trust in you and to build our dependence on you, Lord. We are so incapable of standing through the time that's coming ahead. Please send your spirit, Lord, I pray, to each one of us to lead and guide in our lives. It's such an individual journey. Mark and I have talked before the church service that this is an individual journey that you have to leave each one of us separately, and we thank you for doing that. So continue to lead us, Lord. Strengthen us. Build our trust. Build our dependence on you that we can honor and glorify you and be an example to those people around us so that they can see and that they can know what's actually happening in this world today. We thank you, Lord, for hearing us this morning. In Christ's name, amen.